This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, a dozen Xeon mobile suits are introduced, and all of them are beaten in their introductory episode. Everyone, welcome once again to Hyperspace Broadcast, the podcast where two real friends watch a program broadcast on Toonami and try to determine if it's worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're covering episodes 21 through 30 of Mobile Suit Gundam. Now, is something different about this recording?
No. Wait, yeah.
Everything's
the
same as usual.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those rare times of year, everyone who gives a shit, which is no one, that we are in the same room recording. Whoa.
Yeah, it's super nice. Oh, my God. It's the craziness.
So much more naturalistic. Yeah. I can now see your facial expressions.
Yeah, exactly. And I can cue you, and we don't, and there won't be planes flying overhead that cause me to, like, have to say, oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Wait, and then I have to edit it annoyingly afterwards.
Which happens, let's say, about every 30 seconds?
Something like that. I do live in an airline, and it only happens with these long episodes, too.
Yeah.
Like, every mini-sode, it seems, it happens, like, once.
Yeah, we can, like, really squeeze it in.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Anyway, we are this week talking about Mobile Suit Gundam once again. We are continuing Tamino Month, and let's kick things off with just a general statement. The Black TriStars, not all they're cracked up to be.
Yeah, they suck. I remember the Black TriStars being a big deal, like they were going to be around forever and be like the villain of entire block, like, say, Rambo Roll.
Yeah, right, exactly. But no, they get fucking destroyed.
Two episodes.
They barely do anything. And it's crazy to me because I don't know why I was expecting them to do much, but they're built up like a decent amount.
Yeah.
And also, of course, the origin manga / OVAs, like, they do a lot in those. So, I don't know. It's somewhat disappointing that they come in these, like, badass new mobile suits, and then they're just destroyed.
It's immediately punked by Amuro.
Yeah, they don't do shit. They don't do anything.
They do
kill Matilda.
Yeah, they do kill Matilda, but...
But it's not like she's in a mobile suit. She's in the fucking plane.
Yeah, yeah, she's like, in a,
of course.
She's in a Matilda or whatever, a Medea. I get them mixed up.
Yeah, Matilda, Medea. They're both names of women, probably. It's all the same shit. So yeah, this week we have some pretty interesting stuff going on. I really feel like this is the point where the show starts to become this, like, oh shit, we need to start getting our shit together and wrapping this story up. Because the first two blocks are mostly, like, or the first two blocks that we did are mostly one arc.
Yeah.
With, like, one central villain character. And in this group of episodes, there are so many goddamn villains and so many new mobile suits introduced.
Yeah, like, yeah. Really, the mobile suits, here's where you can tell. Like,
yeah, oh, right.
Yeah, crank out those toys. Come on.
Exactly. So that's a little weird, but you may remember that where we left off, everyone was crying about Ryu like an uncomfortably long time. Ramba Ral, the mustached gentleman, his commando forces had been defeated. And White Base is continuing its journey across Asia, heading towards Odessa to meet up with the main Federation force. Matilda, a lieutenant in the Earth Federation forces, who is like a part of a resupply squadron.
Yeah.
Of the aforementioned Medea planes.
Amuro is totally crushing over her.
Yeah, she's super hot. Like, everyone is totally crushing on her, and
it's kind of
genuine. Yeah, right. So she's trying to resupply White Base, but there's a mole in the Federation forces named Judok, who informs Makuve basically of her movements, and Makuve sends a bunch of goofs mounted on bombers that fly around and try to shoot down her planes. Now, fortunately, she's delivering an expansion module for the Gundam,
yeah,
called the G Fighter, or sometimes it's called the G Armor. Basically, it's like this really super robot-y, toy friendly fucking bunch of crap that can be stuck onto the Gundam.
Yeah.
To make it better, I guess.
And it makes it transform into different forms. Like, it can be the G-Bowl, which is a really stupid-looking tank made out of just the front top torso of the Gundam and some cannons. Or, like, the Gundam fighter where... Like, it can be a fighter on its own where it's fine, but the Gundam can also just, like, hide in it.
Yeah,
it
right, right.
It doesn't seem to help the fighter. I guess it gives it some extra shields, literally.
Yeah, or something. Well, because it has two shields. Yeah. It has a shield mounted on either side. But then, when it just becomes the Gundam again, one of the shields just kind of, like, clips into the other shield.
Which I couldn't tell.
And then there's only one.
I couldn't tell if that was an animation error or if that was just, like, a weird thing they never bring up where it's like, yeah, I guess the shields clip onto each other and become double shields.
Right. Well, I think it's, like, Optimus Prime's fucking,
trailer.
No, it's like his trailer. It's like, it's better if we just forget that this exists.
Yeah,
and you don't try to weirdly integrate it into the design.
Yeah.
You know, it just transforms and it's gone.
It vanishes into hammer space.
Exactly. Like, that would be preferable. But no, instead, the shield clips onto the other shield, I guess. It's pretty weird.
The G-Fighter's fucking stupid.
The G-Fighter is not great.
They spend a lot of time transforming with it, too. Like,
yeah, it's a very good source of stock footage.
Yeah, if you thought mid-air transformations from Last Block were bad, oh man, get ready for all sorts of stupid transformation sequences with like all the different forms of this bullshit.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
G-bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. G-bull, more like G-bullshit. That's my James Rolfe impression.
Yeah,
it's not very good. So they're being resupplied. They get this new fighter. Gundam flies around on the fighter, basically. Sayla ends up piloting it. And then here come the Black TriStars for their badass two-episode fucking just bullshit uselessness, where the only thing they really accomplish is killing Matilda, who tries to interfere in a battle between Amuro and the Black TriStars, where Amuro's having trouble.
Which I'm going to say, bad move on her part.
Yeah, not a great move.
I'm going to interfere in this transport plane. Okay.
Yeah, right. Jeez. And she kind of tries to ram one of them, it seems, and then he just smashes her cockpit like a grape.
He slam dunks her cockpit. Yeah,
it's pretty brutal.
It's like a volleyball spike. Just straight to the cockpit.
It's the classic, like, weird Star Trek double-fisted, like, pound.
Hammer blow kind of thing.
Yeah, over the top of the head. So she's dead, unfortunately, and... Yeah, that's not great.
Who could have guessed the beginning of the episode was like a really happy plot about her and everyone in the crew loves her and there's a big photo taken with her and all
Amuro
the boys in the crew.
Flirts with her awkwardly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she's dead.
Yeah.
How shocking.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that becomes like pretty common where it's like, oh, these deaths are getting a little predictable.
Yeah, just a bit. So meanwhile, we have this like big operation that the Federation is undertaking, Operation Odessa, which is being led by General Revel, who you always refer to as Santa Claus.
Yeah, aka Santa Claus.
General Santa. And this is mostly happens off screen, but you know, Amuro and Sayla managed to root out the double agent, like spy, and the actual general that was going to betray General Revel in the, you know, final hour to cause Mikuve to win or whatever. Eventually, Mikuve, as he's escaping, to cover his escape, fires a nuclear missile, which
and
is
he, like,
a
gives
war
him,
crime.
It's pretty cool, too, because he gives him an ultimatum, and Revel's like, nah, proceed.
Just keep going. Right. But so he fires the missile. Of course, Gundam stops it, because...
Yeah.
You know, it's Gundam.
All you have to do is slash a tip off.
Yeah, right. And that's pretty much Odessa.
That's our first arc.
Yeah, right. So
three.
Yeah, pretty much. So after that, they head to Ireland to be refitted and basically be given actual orders because they finally met up with the main military force. But in Ireland, they encounter who else but Shar Aznable back from, I guess, the disgrace of engineering the death of Garma Zabi.
Yeah. He's ordered back to just hang out here and encounter White Base.
Yeah, right. He's the commander of a submarine team
It's like when McNulty got demoted in the second season of The Wire, and he has to go on the
He's on the boat.
The boat, yeah. So the Char got
he's
demoted
on
to
the fucking boat.
Boat police,
the thing he wanted least of all. So Char is commanding these aquatic mobile suits, and this is where the mobile suits really start hitting the floor. Like,
yeah.
There's these fat amphibious ones called Gogs. The Gundam and G Armor have a bunch of different combinations. This is the debut of the G Bull, which looks real dumb.
This is a Gok, the Gog, you got mobile armors, Grabro, or Grublo,
depending on, you know, your translation preference. Yeah. It's just a big kind of crab looking thing.
Speaking of big row.
Yeah.
You'll hear a lot about
big
that one.
Comes up later. Tons of mobile suits are being introduced. The main thing that happens during this arc is that Kai abandons White Base for a bit and meets this girl named Miharu, which I should probably mention is a classic Irish name.
Yeah.
Who is spying for the Zeon in order to basically feed her younger siblings. And, you know, she ends up sneaking aboard White Base. She dies helping Kai, who rejoins White Base because he feels guilty about watching them just get their asses kicked without him.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
They fly across the Atlantic Ocean to South America, or the Federation's secret headquarters, or I guess it's not secret, really. It's just underground, and the Zeon don't know exactly where it is. The base Jaburo, and in Jaburo, they're essentially told the rest of what they're going to do. They're going to be launched back into space, where the Federation is kind of taking its final sort of attacks against the Zeon. Zeon's more or less been forced off Earth at this point. So they're going into space to finish the job.
And they're also kind of just used as a decoy for the rest of the Federation forces to get up. Because, you know, it seems like everyone wants to kill White Base the most.
Yeah. Well, they have the fucking Gundam.
Yeah.
It makes sense. But yes, White Base, once again, is used as a decoy. And
you'd think they'd, fill it. You think at this point they'd be like, all right, let's get some, real command crew in here.
Nope.
Nah, these kids are fine.
Yeah, no, they give everyone promotions. Actual military ranks in the cases, you know, of everyone but Bright, who didn't have a military rank before this. They get assigned a new guy named Slegger Law, who is kind of a creep. He just hits on Sayla and Mirai a lot, relentlessly. And he's 30 as well, which is kind of weird. He's clearly
elderly.
Older than everyone else by a lot.
He does have a really good voice, a very casual, all right, I guess I'll just take a shot at this. All right.
He's
really, really casual in combat.
He's got a good voice, and he's an interesting character, but he's also,
he's
a prick.
He's
yeah. Yeah. There's
he,
really
he
no
denying
that. He
calls Amuro kid all the time, which
that's
I guess
true.
Is fair, but...
So, but before they launch into space, they have the solid experience of Char finding Jaburo and attacking it with a huge force of Zeon mobile suits, where we see a lot of them just get one-shotted by something or other.
Yeah.
Also, the Federation deploys GMs, or gyms, depending on your preference, which are essentially mass-produced Gundams, and they're pretty shitty cannon fodder for the Federation fighter.
And
after that attack fails, Char infiltrates with a Zagok and a bunch of mobile suits called Act Guys, because again there are a million mobile suits introduced in this block, and they try to plant bombs. The bombs are foiled by the White Base Kids trademark.
Forgot about that.
They are, for some reason, now here's the thing. I remembered that the kids were not on the ship anymore when they go into the final set of battles in space.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea. But the kids are there.
Yeah, this episode makes a point of having them stay aboard the
ship.
Yeah,
right.
For some reason, I guess they feel like it's home here. So,
I get it, But
I
also,
sort of get it, but at some point you got to be like, yeah, sure, it's home here, kids. We're family, but you got to fucking stay behind. We're going to
get
blown
up. Yeah, but your children. Like, yeah, it's really weird when half the crew of White Base starts making impassioned pleas for like, yeah. No, these kids are real heroic. They need to stay aboard our ship that's heading into certain death.
To be fair, those kids are bomb disarmament experts.
Yeah, that's true.
By the end of that episode.
And there is at least one situation where they get exploded out of a hallway, but are all fine because they're kids, of course.
I think they're indestructible. I won't challenge Tamina on that one, though.
Yeah, right. Maybe they're all superheroes secretly.
Oh, God.
And that's why they just know, because I guess Amuro's a new type, so he can tell.
They're all new types.
Yeah,
everyone's a new type. New type, new type, new type.
Yeah, of course, this leads to the actual encounter between Char and Amuro for the first time in a while, which is fairly satisfying. They have a fight. Amuro actually manages to best Char, and then
I do love that kind of like that whole dynamic between them, where it starts as like Amuro's totally unskilled and getting his ass beat, but he just happens to have really good armor, basically.
Yeah, right. And then now, super powerful weapons.
And then now they meet up after so long, and it's like Amuro's actually showing some skills and tactics.
Yeah, and also like Char's on more even ground because his mobile suit is relatively similar to the Gundam at this point.
It's much more improved.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is pretty much it. They end up in space. They have a fight against Char yet again, who pursues them into space, and one of his commanders launches in the Big Row, which is yet another mobile armor that looks like a big crab. And flies through space, and the dude who pilots the Big Row is real into it.
Yeah, oh
he
yeah.
Loves
he has,
the Big Row.
He has several lines just talking about the Big Row where he name drops it specifically, and it's like, okay, dude, come on.
It's like it's a fucking Big Row commercial.
You can't challenge me in my Big Row.
Yeah, it's like it's the Truman Show, and he's being told to product place the Big Row.
Captain, I'd like to see the Big Row. It's like dramatic pauses and everything. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, they're really into that Big Row. Guess what? It gets blown up by Gundam.
It gets blown up the episode it's introduced.
Yep. Because at this point, all Zeon mobile suits, no matter how advanced they are just wheat for the chaff.
Yeah.
They are just falling before Gundam's scythe.
Yep.
Can't do shit. Because I guess Amuro's a new type, and he knows how to actually pilot this already super overpowered weapon.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, again, a lot of crap happens in this particular block. There's like three separate arcs, but that's pretty much it. So I think we should probably get to our Zeniths and Nadirs.
Yeah.
I will start with that by saying that my favorite episode of this was episode 28, Tragedy at Jaburo. Now, again, this is episode 28 of the English version, while it would be episode 29 of the Japanese version, courtesy of episode 15 being dropped.
Yeah.
Which is a numeric thing that is very annoying.
Yeah, it's getting more and more annoying.
So Tragedy at Jaburo is the episode where they finally make it to Jaburo. Basically, it's the one where Char and Amuro encounter each other again. And that's basically why I like it.
Yeah.
It is just seeing them actually encounter each other. Obviously, the audience knows that Char has been in command of the attacks against White Base for a while now, but the characters on White Base don't.
Yeah.
And this is the first time he shows up, and when he shows up, Amuro is like clearly like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, right.
This guy again. At this point, it's satisfying to watch someone fight Amuro and not just get immediately fucking destroyed.
Yeah, definitely. We also get introduced to Woody,
Lieutenant Woody
from Toy Story,
who's convinced that he's very angry that Buzz Lightyear thinks he's not a toy.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's we learned that he was like Matilda's fiance, and it's like kind of like, oh, that's sad. And then he just dies the same way Matilda dies.
Yeah, right. Because again, fucking, this is a bloody block.
Yeah,
a lot of people die in this block. Most of them introduced, maybe like the episode that they die.
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah, it really does. But yeah, unfortunately, Lieutenant Woody is destroyed, but this is generally a pretty fun episode just by virtue of having Char and Amuro meet in combat again. Like, we've been looking forward to that.
Definitely.
It's neat to see it happen. What was your favorite?
My favorite episode was episode 26, A Spy on Board. This is the episode where Kai decides to leave White Base. one of the reasons I really like this episode is it actually makes me kind of empathize with Kai.
Yeah, sure. For the first time, yeah, probably. Yeah.
It's the first episode where Kai is a multidimensional character and not just a dick. it's great, too, because it starts with Amuro giving this fucking painstaking PowerPoint presentation to the entire staff of, like, well, here's all the different transformations of the G-Armor, kids. Like, check it out. Check out these cool animations.
It's like it's sure a fucking show and tell.
Might as well be a toy commercial, really. And
I feel like people seem bored as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Kai himself gets up and he's like, I don't need to see this shit. And I was like, Kai, you're right. For once, I agree with Kai. Get me out of this scene. And, you know, Kai eventually decides to just leave White Base. He's like, yeah, fuck this. You know, I have the chance to, like, bail now. I might as well.
Sort of. I mean, they are told that if they leave, they'll be imprisoned. Because they, again, stole
true.
A ship and know a bunch of really top secret stuff.
Forgot about that detail.
But somehow Kai's just like, I guess I'll just leave.
And he does. Yeah. But we get some, like, emotional scenes, like, Bright and Amuro try and stop him. And Amuro tells him, like, oh, I don't like everything about you, but we need you
anything,
on this team.
Really.
And, you know...
Amuro gives him his toolbox that he can sell for some bucks.
Yeah. Kai leaves and goes to meet up with, and goes and, like, kind of gets entangled with Miharu, the Zeon spy, which he met a couple days ago because she, like, tries to sell goods to Federation people and stuff.
Yeah, right.
And one thing I like about this is he really quickly finds out she's a spy. So it's not like, because I was thinking it's going to be the predictable kind of like, oh, he gets bamboozled by the female character for several days until she's an evil spy and it's revealed. And you know,
and
instead he just like immediately, like, he finds like a gun in her belongings and he just goes, this is sad. And I love that line because it's just like, something about him just kind of like being nice to the character in her situation and not just being like, I'm going to turn you in, and also not being like, I don't know.
Oh, distract. She's so hot.
I'm so stupid.
I can't tell.
He still has his wits about him.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, later in the episode, the entire city gets attacked and like, or White Base is getting attacked and like they're having trouble. Kai goes out and sees it and he's like, he has hilariously has flashbacks of like his time on White Base, and he's like, "Oh man, they're really struggling. I remember my memories on White Base," and it's just they're not even, most of them aren't positive. They're just him getting punched for being a dick.
Yeah, like so many of his flashback like, for I need to go help White Base.
Yeah.
Is just him getting beaten up by various members of the crew.
Remember when Ryu punched me? Oh my.
Oh man, Ryu's dead now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, God, it's
and then
so weird.
Cue a fucking motorcycle ride through an exploding city, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he like gets in and in time to get into Gun Tank and helps blow up some of the enemies. And it was like, Kai is being useful and cool.
Yeah, and like pretty badass. Like, yeah.
And when Kai comes back, there's one detail I love too, where he tells Amuro, he's like, sorry, man, your toolbox didn't sell for shit. And Amuro's like, what? I paid a lot for that. Like, totally doesn't get the joke.
Which is also probably the most convincing voice acting in this whole show so far. Like, that line is delivered so perfectly by Amuro's voice actor. It sounds amazing.
And one last detail, the Zagat gets introduced into this, which is my favorite Zeon aquatic suit from this era.
Yeah, sure. The original designs.
Yeah, yeah. Most of them look pretty stupid.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, honestly.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot for the Ek guy, but it's mostly because the Thunderbolt redesign of the Ek guy looks really good.
Oh, yeah? You don't love the Gok?
No. The Zok.
The Zok, sorry.
The Zok is the dumbest looking mobile suit.
Yeah, Zok. Ooh, look that one up. That one's a mess.
The thing about the Zok that's really funny in these episodes, just to go off on a brief tangent, is that they never show it actually like walking or doing anything. It's always just kind of floating through water or like peeking up over a cliff.
Yeah, I don't think it can like even go on land.
Like, making it look like it's walking would look so awkward.
It's huge and it has like no head really.
None of them really do.
Yeah, it's just all part of one body and it's got the biggest like Zeon eye. In that it's like a weird ass shape that goes everywhere, and then like the little eye can go around it. It's stupid.
It's just a big fat thing with like really tiny legs.
Yeah,
like that's it's very strange looking. But enough about the Zok, because it's time to talk about an episode that I didn't like rather than a mobile suit design. This is my nadir, episode 25, Char Returns. I will say straight out that this is not really a bad episode. There's one thing I dislike about it specifically.
Yeah.
And that is the G-Bull. The G-Bull looks fucking stupid. I mean, most of the G-Fighter modules don't look great, but G-Bull has a particular place in my heart of being real dumb looking.
Yeah.
And like, I it's indescribable.
It's the kind
of thing that we need to just post an image of on our social media so you can understand how it looks.
Tank treads and two cannons, and the torso of the Gundam goes in and the legs are disconnected, which seems like a tactical mistake this thing at all. But apparently it's got really good armor and really awesome lasers. So.
Yeah, sure. And the thing that's so goofy about it is like the cockpit of the G-Fighter faces backwards, and the torso of the Gundam is shoved up it in such a way that, like, it's like you're looking up the waist of the Gundam. Like, it's laying down, and its arms are by its side, one still holding its rifle, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
As it's driving around, it just looks so wrong, and it requires two pilots. Like, what?
Not only that, at that point, you get the same badass lasers when you do the full transformation into the flying ship with the flying ship with, like, the Gundam inside.
Yeah, right.
So just do that.
I don't know. it just looks real dumb. I don't like the G-Bull at all. Otherwise, this episode's fine. This is the one where the Zeon forces first attack with their aquatic mobile suits. In this case, Gogs, which are kind of fat and a little dopey looking, but better than the Zok. What about you, Peter?
Oh, yeah, and this is also the episode where Miharu is introduced.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of Miharu...
the one she's introduced, and...
And the one where she dies. My nadir is episode 27, Across the Atlantic Ocean. This episode's not bad, but there's elements of it that I dislike. Basically, what happens is Kai just happens to run into Miharu aboard White Base.
Who hides under a table, like the worst hiding place ever.
Yeah, and Boone and another soldier sneak aboard White Base.
By the way, Boone
has a fucking absurd, like, joke German accent.
Yeah, he has a quote-unquote Zeon accent that's too thick.
Yeah.
So he can't talk during this infiltration.
Which is like, Ach nein! It's like the most absurd German bullshit accent.
Also, it should be mentioned, Boone is basically Char's second in command of this, like, submarine.
Yeah. Boone's our buddy. He's got a, like, a widow's peak, and sometimes he wears one of those Russian hats. I don't know.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Vegeta and Boone could cosplay as each other.
Just a little hair trimming.
Yeah, some sideburns.
Yeah. So, in this episode, like, the Zeon's basically launch an attack from sea that's, like, really threatening White Base. And Miharu, while aboard White Base, realizes there's, like, children aboard. And she's like, oh my god, it's just, like, my siblings, you know?
Yeah, right.
Little kids, what am I doing? Helping Zeon. And so she agrees to help. She insists on helping out Kai and defending the place. And they both get a gun parry together, which is, like, a flying gunship thing.
Yeah, it's the thing that dropped off Gundam parts so that they could transform.
Oh, yeah. And so it's like a cargo gunship thing.
Yeah.
And they fly that around, and one of the missiles gets stuck, and she's like, I'm gonna go out and, like, fix the missile while the plane's flying.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's a launch control in the launch bay.
Yeah.
You know, as well as in the cockpit, and we can't launch it from the cockpit, so I'll climb down the ladder and do that.
So, you know, nothing bad's gonna happen.
Yeah, of course.
And then she, like, flies off. Yeah, dies.
She's just blown right off the deck. After launching the missile, of course.
Yeah.
But, yeah, now she's dead.
But
poor
what
guy.
What I disliked about
and
this
poor
episode...
poor Miharu, really. I mean...
Yeah. Poor Miharu's siblings.
Yeah, and her siblings who are probably never referred to again.
Yeah,
like, even in Zeta. Like, what the fuck happened to those kids?
They lived a sad rest of their
life.
They
just starved to death?
And so what I didn't like about this episode is that it's just like, I like when the episodes kind of go dark sometimes, but the death in this seems so fucking telegraphed. Like, the preview for next episode on the previous episode, so the preview for this episode, I guess, was really obvious about, like, Miharu's gonna fucking die.
Yeah, right. They might as well have just fucking said it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And just, again, the way the episode's structured, it's a lot like Woody. It's like,
yeah, it's, it, oh, you get a moment where you're sympathetic with this character, and, yeah, you know, it's like, oh, she cares about the kids aboard, she's changing her mind, oh, maybe we could have a new character join, that'd be cool, and then it's like, nah, come on, like, of course, she's gonna die, right?
Yeah, now, at least she managed to stick around for, like, 3 episodes.
Yeah,
she lasted longer than the fucking Black TriStars.
That's true, that's true. She's good. Yeah, that's a good record. But, yeah, you know, at least out of, we get, like, some more emotion out of Kai than it's just, like, mm-hmm. edgelord dick status.
Well, yeah, this is definitely, like, I mean, the episodes you picked are pretty much the Kai character development
arc. Yeah, right. And, you know, Boone's a little interesting, too. He talks about how he wants to get revenge. And I don't know.
Well, he doesn't want to use the word revenge.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm not the kind of guy who uses the word revenge, but they killed 2 of my dudes out there, and I got to give them a good
back. At this point, they probably killed like fucking 7 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, he deploys in the Griblo, and shit talks about how it's the easiest battle he's ever fought, yeah. Which is a funny yeah. line. And then, of course,
funny line
gets
for a guy
instantly destroyed.
Yeah, a funny line for a guy who's certainly going to die. Man. Well, I think we're about ready for our break, yeah?
Yep. Yeah, we are.
Yeah, right, and after that, we'll talk about the block as a whole and get to our bet.
Yep. Sounds good.
I ain't no regular guy. That one fantastic pilot, Ortega and Mac. We're going to pull a jet stream attack on that there mobile suit.
Mobile Suit Gundam will return in a moment.
Some acknowledgements. Our opening and closing music is, as always, Vapor Diving by Onatech, and the music for the bumpers is Monkeys, also by Onatech. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo. Our next full episode, where we cover the final episodes of Mobile Suit Gundam to air on Toonami, will release August 29th, and next week, catch our minisode, where we discuss another series directed by Yoshiyuki Tomino, Space Runaway Ideon. As always, you can submit a topic or show suggestion for our minisodes via DM on facebook.com/hbpod, Twitter @hbpod, or you can email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com. And now, back to Mobile Suit Gundam.
All right, we're back, and let's get into our discussion of the block overall. I will begin with that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I like this block quite a bit. I guess I have kind of mixed feelings about it, because on one hand, it is getting more into the sort of real robot stuff to an extent. I like that we're getting to this point where it's not just White Base versus the world.
Yeah.
And they're actually kind of part of the main Federation force. The Federation has other mobile suits.
Other
not
pilots.
Not just White Base.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're being assigned new pilot characters and stuff. You know, it does a good job of humanizing the Zeons a bit. Meharu's a pretty good example of that, even though she's not really a Zeon. Like, she's a spy for them, but, you know, whatever. The thing that I don't like very much about this block is, as I said at the beginning, it does feel like they're running out of time and
a little rushed.
Yeah, and trying to move shit along really fast. And as a result, you end up with all these things that are really cool and that I know about from just other Gundam sources that kind of flesh them out. But in this case, they're pretty much non-existent. Like,
I would say case in point of that is the whole plot line about, like, there's a traitor in the Federation forces, which is like one episode, and
it's like
out.
A couple episodes. It has some impact, but for the most part, you know, that could have been a really interesting storyline that just kind of goes away,
because you like never meet the guys beforehand, and then Amuro just finds out who it is, goes to them, and they're like, oh shit, we are the bad guys.
Okay, you do meet them a couple times beforehand.
I guess they're not very significant, though, you know?
Yeah, yeah, they're just kind of there.
It'd be interesting if they were, like, actively manipulating things a little bit.
Yeah, they sort of are. I mean, I think a better example is just the Black TriStars. Like, again,
yeah.
They don't do anything. They're barely in there.
The biggest thing to do is kill Matilda.
Yeah, right.
And
which sucks, sure, but, like,
compared to Romba Rawl, who got basically a 10 episode arc.
Yeah, yeah.
They are pointless. They just come in and die, and it kind of sucks. And, you know, the thing, though, really, for me, that was just disappointing is Operation Odessa is, like, a huge deal within the canon of Gundam. Like, that's the turning point of the war. We don't even see it.
Yeah.
We just see, like, some basically stock footage with a narrator. Like, we're watching a fucking History Channel documentary about the 1 year war. And that's about it. And meanwhile, you know, White Base is blowing up the Black TriStars like they're nothing.
Yeah, there's the only, like, big moment of that is we get, like, the whole nuke situation.
The nuke thing.
Which was pretty interesting. I thought that was, like, neat and kind of a crazy moment.
Yeah, right.
But
I guess...
Yeah, you're pretty divorced from the actual, like, operation.
Yeah, exactly. Which makes sense because it's from the perspective of White Base and they're not involved. But at the same time...
They're supposed to be involved, though.
What?
I mean, they're involved in a certain level. In that
well, they're a fucking decoy. Like, again.
Yeah, that's true.
It's pretty much all they are through the whole series.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I just wish that, and like the attack on Jaburo is like this big battle that just only has like two episodes devoted to it. It just feels a little bit rushed, and I wish that they'd had the time to give some of these things a little more breadth.
Yeah.
Because considering that in the, I guess, history, quote unquote, of this universe, these are some of the most significant things, and they're kind of brushed over. In favor of Amuro internally screaming about Matilda, but screaming her name over and over awkwardly.
Yeah, it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, on some level, I wish they had a little more time. Not a ton.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want it to be fucking...
I'd say the Kai arc was perfectly length.
Good. Yeah, like, that was definitely good. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm saying all this, I did like this arc generally.
Yeah.
It's getting more into what I like about Gundam.
This whole block is pretty consistent. I had trouble finding a worst episode.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, well, there's, like, a minor thing about this episode that I really hate.
Yeah, sure, right.
Otherwise, like... All of these were pretty consistently have pretty consistent quality.
Sure. Well, and two, like, you know, I guess it would be cool to see a bit more expansion of some of this stuff, but also we do in other Gundam series. So maybe it's not a bad thing that they just kind of gloss over it here.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? You know, maybe like they set up a situation where you can use more series to flesh out the
year
or flesh out the Universal Century.
Sure. Sure. So, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think this is like a bad block. I just wish that they didn't feel like they were rushing towards the end so much, which I'm sure at this point they knew, like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This shows we have to cut it down. And yeah, I don't want it to be like Fang of the Sun Dugrum, fucking 70 episodes long.
So slow.
Even the smallest operation takes like 5 episodes to happen. But it would be nice if the Black TriStars stuck around for a little longer.
Yeah, maybe 5 episodes.
It would also be nice, we didn't even mention this, it would be nice if they didn't have the goofiest southern accents ever.
Oh, God.
Ortega! Like, I posted a
Operation
clip.
Operation Fried Chicken complete. That's a literal line.
Release of Fried Chicken complete.
Yeah, even better.
And it's not said by them, unfortunately. That would be incredible.
But that's I insist that be dubbed over a fucking, like, Popeye's commercial.
KFC commercial drumsticks are, like, tumbling down from the top
of
the frame.
I'm sure that's a thing, too.
Yeah,
Zionic KFC is probably a thing that's happened in Japan.
Yeah, and it's in the KFC's background there. Of Build Divers or something.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh boy. All right. So, I mean, do you have anything else to add really about this block?
I've pretty much said my piece interspersed for yours as usual.
Yeah, sure.
Well, let's move on to the final segment, our bet.
Yeah, so you won.
I
handily
won. 7 mobile suits is the maximum destroyed. I said 9, and you said 15, I believe.
Right. I was way off. To be fair, those mobile suits were destroyed within about 1 minute of screen time, where it's just a montage of Zeon suits jumping out of planes towards Jaburo and being blown to bits.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So I was like, that episode started, I was like, ooh, we might actually have a huge number, but it's not Gundam Wing.
Yeah.
So not quite.
So in terms of our next bet, how do we want to handle this? Because at this point, I've kind of won for the series.
You have won for this series. So that's why I think that we should do a double or nothing on the mobile suits destroyed in an episode bet.
Okay, okay.
Because, again...
I'll take that bet.
Theoretically, we're going into some seriously big battles here, where I expect to see mobile suits being blown up.
We're doing only enemy mobile suits like last time?
I think we should do both enemy and friendly.
Okay,
okay. Because GMs apparently are also highly combustible.
Yeah. I will go... 16.
Holy shit. All right. Now, do I lowball you or not?
No way. No.
Yeah, I'm going to lowball you.
Go ahead.
11.
Oh, 11's pretty good.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. We never well, had who 11 knows? Yeah.
But
so if I win,
we could have what was that one fucking bet? It's the same thing. Was that Leo's? And it was like, yeah, it was Leo's for Gundam Wing, where it was like, okay, this is pretty tame. And then one episode, it was like fucking 40 Leo's got blown up. Yeah, right. Like, God damn.
Well, of course, and this is within one episode again, just like last time. We're not going to try to count all the mobile suits destroyed.
Yeah, a little easier this
yeah,
way.
Yeah, right. But. So we should clarify that a double or nothing, since we haven't done it in a while, would mean that if I win, I get to pick the next series and you pick the next, like, one-off thing. Whereas if you win, you get to pick both.
All right. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see what happens. I'm excited for the Battle of Solomon, hopefully to have a bunch of bullshit exploding.
I can only imagine.
All right, well, next week we are going to be continuing Tomino Month with Space Runaway Ideon, a sort of weird super robot show.
It sure is a show. That show is crazy.
It is bizarre. We've been watching it. It's been enjoyable. But after that, our next main episode, finishing up Gundam, is going to be a little weird because we are trying to watch this based on the Toonami broadcast of it. And
not recommended.
No, as we've mentioned many times before at this point, the broadcast was interrupted partly due to the September 11th attacks. So here are the episodes that we're watching for next for episode, what, 73? We're watching episodes 31 through 37, episode 39, and episode 42, because episode 42, the finale of the series, was broadcast on the New Year's Eve ill thing.
Oh, so the other episodes that they skipped were just skipped forever?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, wow. Are we going to watch those at some point?
Yeah, my intention is to watch those for the minisode after we conclude Gundam.
Okay,
we'll watch those, and then also Kukuru's Doan's Island.
Oh, yeah. That banned episode. Wonder what's going on there.
It's
not banned. That sounds like a good YouTube clickbait, though. Gundam's banned episode. And it's like, man, what kind of fucking Bikini Island
yeah,
did they
no,
go
it's,
to?
Yeah, no, it's a shot of, like, Frau Bo looking whoa! And then, the text...
Oh, my God. And in reality, it was just an episode that wasn't aired because it sucked ass.
Because it was...
Tomino was like, this episode sucks.
Because it had worse animation errors than most of them, and apparently had a beef with the director. So we're looking forward to that weird collection of episodes. Now, what I'm hoping is that... one of the ones that we're going to skip is going to be one where tons of mobile suits are blown up.
Yeah, right.
And we just get screwed for that.
Just thought of Zionic Popeyes, I'm sorry. It's like an actual logo for that.
Yeah. All right, well, until next week, I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us then. Hey, everyone, if you want to hear more jokes about releasing fried chicken, follow us over at facebook.com/HPPod and Twitter @HPPod, where we post all of our episodes as well as additional content related to what we've been watching. This is also a great way to get in contact with us, of course. Subscribing on iTunes is also a surefire way to stay up to date, and while you're there, consider leaving us a review. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.